Don't forget, September 29th is baptism service. And there's a fellowship afterward, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. I read the note. My name is Richard. For those who don't know me, I'm Richard Zeigert. My wife, Barb, the nicest lady on the planet. No offense to any of the other ladies in here, but... All right. We have a lot to cover and not a lot of time to do it. I had a handout, and for those who are not familiar with doing that, some encourage others to take notes. I encourage folks to take notes because you always remember what you write down if you can only remember where you wrote it down. Okay? So, we're in Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. And I'm glad everybody's here. I took my jacket off because I'm getting warm already, and I know there are those who are getting cold, and I'm sorry, you can borrow my jacket if you'd like. So, anyway. And the Bible says in Luke chapter number 10, and we'll start in verse number 27. I understand that it actually doesn't start there. It starts in a different place, but for purposes of this sermon. The title of the sermon actually is, in case you're interested in writing it down, and I don't know if I put it on that paper or not, actually. And it is, What is Love? I also had it titled, The Genuine Article. And it's kind of important, but we'll get started. And the Bible says, And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Verse 30, And the Lord answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Notice he saw him. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and sent him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spend more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Father, I sure do thank you for the privilege to do what I do. And I'd ask, Lord, that you'd please set me aside and use your word to teach us. Help us, Father, not just to look at it and thread it through our eyes, but Lord, we ask that you'll give us open hearts to receive it. And most of all, Lord, apply it to our lives. Bless each one that is here, Father. Bless us with the ability to see and to hear and to apply. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So our text here is about a lawyer. And in verse number 25, and we actually haven't gotten that far, but he says, And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. And so if there's anybody in here that's a lawyer, then what is it that you know? Supposedly.
The law.
Okay? So here's a man that supposedly knew the law because he was a lawyer, and he asked, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Is that a reasonable question? Sure. Back in this time, lawyers, if you will, were those who actually did study the law, the Word of God, and basically they were responsible to help the Sanhedrin and help the priests and the Levites to understand what the law had to say. And so we also had scribes that were amongst that group. So the law in the Bible gives us what is the Old Testament law? Original. Ten Commandments. Okay? Now, God broke it down into two, and that was through Jesus Christ. And the two laws that sum up all of the Ten Commandments are these two laws, and that is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And the second commandment is like unto the first, and that is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, this lawyer here, he was one of those individuals. Basically, he wanted to enter into eternal life, and he probably assumed that everybody, because he was a lawyer, because he studied the law, he probably was one of those who loved the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody in here do that? We'd like to say yes, but the truth of the matter is, apart from the Holy Spirit of God, you can't. And by the way, apart from the Holy Spirit of God, you can't love anybody else the way you're supposed to either. And we sometimes have this idea that love, really, is it's a feeling. How many feel like they love somebody? Raise your hand. Sure. What is it? What is love? Well, honestly, a lot of times we talk about it, but the problem we have is we really don't know what it is. Kind of like light. Our friend was talking about water, H2O. One of the things that just amazes me is light. I've done a pretty extensive study on light. You know what it is? I don't know. I'm serious. I don't know. It can't be defined. It can't be measured. It can't be weighed. The only thing we can do is see it. It's much like God. And God is the one that created light, and he's the one that knows what it is, and he's the one that knows how to make it. We can generate light, but we can't actually define what light is. Kind of amazing, but that has nothing to do with this message. We'll go on from here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20 says, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So the law basically shows us God's holiness and our sinfulness. And the Lord said to this lawyer, after he rightly answered it, go and do what he knew intellectually to do. But he was unable, actually, if you will, to go and do that, and he knew it. And so what he was trying to do was justify himself and say, basically, I'm as good as anybody else. How many in here like to be as good as anybody else? Sure. Don't we? Yeah. That's a goal. And as a matter of fact, if I can be a little bit better than somebody else, then guess what? I'll point that out. And if I can be a little bit better than somebody else whom I'm better than I can point that out. And what does it do? That's just simply pride. And this man basically did not want to admit that he couldn't do what the Lord had asked him to do. And by the way, Christian, a lot of times we can't do what God asks us to do. And rather than go to him and tell him, look, we can't do it, we need your strength to do it, we go ahead and try to justify ourselves as well. And beware, that's nothing more than pride. Truth of the matter is, apart from Christ, we can do only a few things. Now, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, without me, ye can do nothing. In and of ourselves, we are just wasted. Now, the Bible says, and by the way, that doesn't mean you can't do what the Lord gives you the strength and ability to do, but nonetheless, we are supposed to do that. This morning, we're going to try to partially answer three questions, basically. The main one is, what is love? Turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. If you have your Bibles with you, you might as well plan on turning to a lot of verses. There are an awful lot of verses that talk about love. Loving the Lord and loving others and what we should do and what we should not do. It's an incredible study. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another. By the way, is that a suggestion?
No.
Hello?
No.
Is that a suggestion?
No.
No, it's a command. There is a difference between a suggestion and a command. I may suggest something to you, but somebody who's an absolute authority can command us to do certain things. We live in a society today that doesn't like commands. I don't like it when you tell me what to do. As a matter of fact, you can't tell me what to do. Not even God can tell us what to do. That's a fault. Because God has every right to tell us what to do. And he goes on and he commands us, if you will, and he even says later on, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. But we'll get into that in just a minute. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth, what's that word? Not God, for God is love. By the way, can we define God? No, he just is. Matter of fact, he's so undefinable. He just said when Moses asked him, who shall I say to the children of Israel that sent me? And he just said, I am. He's so complete that he can say, I am. So he goes on and he says in the text here, we're commanded to love the Lord. We're commanded to love our neighbor. But we don't actually know what the word love means. So in John chapter 13, if you will please, John 13, verse 33. John 13:33. We'll read 33 through 35. The Bible says in John chapter 13, verses 33 through 35, little children, yet a little while I am with you. He's talking to the disciples. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, and that ye love one another. So the three questions, here's three questions for you. How do you define love? And I'm asking the question, and I'm pausing, not just for effect. Ask yourself the question. There's two in here that I know of for sure that are engaged. They say they love each other. What does that mean? Define it. Now, I'm serious. I'm not asking them to do that. But honestly, I'm asking them to do that. You need to do that in your own mind. What does love mean? I'm married. I love my wife. But what does that mean? My wife said to me this morning, I love you. Pretty amazing. You knew me, that's really amazing. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, she says she loves me. What does that mean? And is it a continuing thing, or is it just a statement and a feeling that we make? And too often, it's not much more than just a statement and a feeling that we have. And what happens to feelings? They go away. They change. And by the way, did you ever love somebody and they get really angry at them? And boy, the last thing you wanted to do was see them. Is that love? Hey, we'll talk about that. You define what love is. Secondly, where would you go to find a definition? Now we're in church. You can answer it. It's okay. Where do you go to find a definition of love? The Bible. Isn't that wonderful? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. By the way, the Jews, of course, they're proud people. They're not like us who are really humble all the time. They were proud people and they wanted everybody to think they were really proud. And when they got saved, boy, they liked to speak in tongues and they liked to do all these other things. They liked to have the gifts of miracles and the gifts of prophecy and all these other gifts. And Paul said, in answer to their pride, I'll show you a better way. And here was his better way. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse number 4, we're not going to read all the other ones. In verse number 4, charity, that's love. And by the way, I'm going to stop here for just a second. The word charity, what does it bring to your mind when you think of charity? What?
Giving.
Yeah, giving without expecting anything back. Okay, so somebody's sitting alongside the road or they're holding a sign and you put money in a bag, what do you expect to get back out of that?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Okay? That's real love, by the way. That is love. That's why a lot of people transfer the word charity and use love. But I like the word charity. I like the fact that it was translated to the word charity because it carries with it the idea that you get nothing back out of it. You're giving what you have and expecting nothing in return. Wonderful, wonderful translation of that word. So he says, charity suffereth long and is what? Kind. Charity envieth not. You ever envied? No, we don't. We're Christians. We don't do that. Charity vaunteth not itself. In other words, doesn't think it's somebody or something. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. But rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity, or love, if you will, never fails. By the way, does love ever really fail? The answer is no. God said so. Real love never fails. So ask yourself, do I really love? You two in particular. Ask yourself, do I really love? And I'm talking to people that are married. There are so many people now, they get married. The average lifespan of a marriage anymore is only 3.5 years.
Start a marriage.
Yeah, really. That's when you find out who you actually married. But no, that's a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. But anyway, if you looked into the Bible, this is the third question, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is not our text, but if you look into the Bible and we find a truth that defines love, would you be willing to change your thinking if you needed to change? I'll tell you what, when I was going through this, the Lord showed me a lot of things that need to work for me as well. Loving your neighbor and loving your wife and loving your enemies as Christ instructed is not natural to our flesh. It is not. And a lot of people, they display it a lot differently, but one of the things that I have discovered in my study of all of this, honestly, love really can't be defined apart from works. Apart from an action. Love promotes an action. Now, that action in this flesh, because it's a sinful flesh, and because we're sinners, doesn't come naturally to us. How many know that most of us, most of our flesh, wants what we want more than what anybody else wants? That's the natural part of our flesh. And by the way, when you're speaking of somebody that's really close to you, that's one issue. My wife, I don't know that there's too much that she couldn't ask me to do if I thought it's something that the Lord wanted us to do that I wouldn't try. But you in here, if you walked up to my door and knocked on it and said, I want you to do this for me, I don't know that I'd be willing to do it. Now, does that mean that I don't love you? See, we have a false understanding of what love really is. Our text this morning actually doesn't define love other than what somebody did for somebody else that they didn't even know. And it's important to understand it in that light because our definition of love is skewed. And it really is. It really is a matter of not just who you know and how you feel. It's a matter of what you do. Romans chapter 13, and if you'll turn there, please, very important verses. Romans 13, we'll start in verse number 8, and we'll end up in verse number 10. And if you have one of those lists, you'll find those verses on your list as well. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, he's focusing on the second part of the Ten Commandments. And he says in 13:8, he says, owe no man anything but to love one another, For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the law, in the second part of the law, is simply saying what it does say in verse number 10 of that chapter. In verse 10 it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So what he's saying here is, if we love somebody else like we want to be loved, we will not do anything to them that will cause them to be in a position that we would not want to be in. What I'm trying to say in this is, God is trying to say, is what you will do for others and to others and say about others will not hurt them intentionally any more than you would want to be hurt. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's an awful, awful lot of that going on the internet. People are literally destroyed. Young people are committing suicide over the words that other people say, and yet they want to claim they love somebody. Who is it we're commanded not to love? Nobody. As a matter of fact, the Bible goes on and it says this, hard words, speak evil of no man. Did I say that? No, God did. Easy words to say, really tough words to put into practice every single day, every single year, every single month of every year. Tough words. A parable basically means a parallel, a story told in earthly terms with great spiritual significance. I do not think that our story here in Luke chapter number 10, which was our text, is actually a parable. I think it's a truth. I think it's something that happened. And the Lord Jesus, by the way, what is it that the Lord doesn't see? He sees everything, doesn't he? So could this have happened and nobody else, at least there, that he was talking to knew of it? Sure, it happened often. What is it that Jesus Christ saw? Basically everything. He is God. So he knew what was going on. Turn to James chapter number 2. The Lord is not trying to tell us that every time you see somebody that has a trouble, that you're supposed to stop and take care of it. That's not the point of this message, nor is it the point in the scripture. What it is saying, though, is that if you are driving down the highway, and this is just an example, and you see somebody alongside the road, and the Holy Spirit says to you, you need to stop and help them, and perhaps give them the gospel in the process, then do so. What? I don't have time. Oh, I suppose the Samaritan had lots of time. I suppose the priest, when they looked on him and said, I don't need to love like he says to love. I don't need to do this. Be careful that we don't become priests and Levites in our Christian walk with the Lord. James chapter number 2 and verses 15 and 16 says this, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit? What good is it to say I love somebody and then you don't try to meet a need if you see that they have it? I have been in churches where I've seen people that are walking around and their shoes are worn all the way through with holes in them. See, a lot of times what we do in our Christian love is we walk around like this. Oh, I don't see anybody that has a need. What? Well, nobody does. Everybody in our church is doing really well. The fact of the matter is, they're not. And by the way, it's not just physical needs. Sometimes it's just nice to have somebody to sit down and talk to. Sometimes it's just nice to have somebody invite them over for coffee. Sometimes it's just nice for somebody to just say hi to them and meet them. We have one here in our text that says, who needed love. A Jew traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves or predators with no regard to how he felt. Basically, they took all that he had. He left him in a condition basically where he was stripped and wounded and abandoned and left for dead. But it's much like the Christian walk and how the Lord Jesus was with us, if you will. He was stripped. Like all mankind, we've been stripped of our former glory when sin came into the world. Every single one of us was born a sinner, which is why we sin. How many know that apple trees bear apples? Pretty deep. So you don't get that everywhere. We're sinners. So we're born that way. So what are we going to do? Sin. Does God know it? Sure he does. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Woo-hoo! You want to get excited about something, brother, think about that one for a little while. That'll fire you up. The fact of the matter is, he was stripped, he was wounded. Because of the fall of man, basically, every single one of us are wounded by the world and our flesh and the devil, without exception. And if you don't think you are, stop and think about your life and stop and think about what the Lord had to do to save you. He had a lot of work for me. He was abandoned. Spiritually, we were born abandoned because of sin. It separated us between God the Father, our Creator, and us. And we needed healing. And he was left for dead. Adam and Eve died. And we all died in their trespasses and sin. And yet the Lord came to us, basically, and he gives us life. Not just life partially, but life eternally. Isn't it wonderful? Man, you guys really would never make good Pentecostals. The second thing we notice in our text is those who should have loved him. We have a providential opportunity that they had to love. I'm going to say this. Oftentimes, God puts things in our paths, somebody in our paths who has a need that we might be able to help, whether it's physically or spiritually or financially or whatever. And honestly, we're willing to take, but we're not very willing to give out. I know of lots of people, basically, they're career acceptors. They live to accept everybody else's generosity. We as Christians aren't supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be living to give. Why? Everything that you have, I don't care what it is, your ability, your finances, your time, everything you have, God gave you. And he still gives you. Well, I earned it. No, you didn't. Where'd you get the strength to get it? Where'd you get the opportunity to get it? Where'd you get the ability to do it? Fact of the matter is, all of that came from the Lord. And we need to understand that. And so God doesn't say, hey, hold on to it. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever see a hearse with a U-Haul behind it? Hello? No. Why? Because guess what you take with you? Nothing. Why? Because God gave it all to you to start with. And by the way, he'll give it all to you for all eternity. God didn't stop giving to you just because you got saved. That's when he really started giving to you. And he expects us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one of those things that we need to learn to give is how to love people as Christ loved us. The fact of the matter is, we haven't learned that in our churches. We haven't learned that in our individual lives, and we're not teaching it to our children very well. Most people are growing up thinking that the most important person on the planet is me. And by the way, that's our sinful flesh. The truth of the matter is, if you want to have joy in your life, like somebody that's candidating talks about joy, you want to have joy in your life, start with Jesus, move on to others, and you're finally the last. Because you know who takes care of you? Not you. It's God. He promised He would. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Isn't that what He said? Go like this. Even if you don't know it, just go like this because that's absolutely true. He didn't say you are going to supply all your need. He may give you opportunity to do that. He may give you the ability to do that. He may give you a lot of other things. But the fact of the matter is, it's God's responsibility to take care of His children. And if you're saved in here today, it's His responsibility to care for you. How many in here have kids? Raise your hand. That's just about everybody. And guess what? So when the kid is born, as soon as they're 3 months old, go out and work. Because bless God, I'm not caring for you anymore. No, you're his parent. You're his father. You're his mother. You take care of him. Guess what? When you're born again, God the Father says, I'll take care of you. Woohoo! I don't have to worry. It doesn't have to be a matter of I fret and wonder, oh, is God going to care for me? Now, he didn't promise to take care of all of your desires and your wants. But I'll tell you what he did promise to do. Take care of all your need. What's our need? Well, I got to have a new car every 2 years. I need a decent sized house with new furniture. I need a vacation every year. And health insurance. God will provide what you need. Didn't he promise to? Yeah, he did. Anyway, moving on. He gave these priests and the Levite an opportunity. And by the way, he gives us opportunities as well. And they had a responsibility. They were supposed to display God to the people. They were supposed to teach people, like this man, the law. And what they were supposed to be teaching about the law at this point was they were supposed to be teaching to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, love thy neighbor as thyself. And let me ask you a question. Were they doing that? I've got news for you, my friend. God will give you opportunities to show His love to somebody else. And when you want to play Pharisee and you want to play priest, then you can go ahead and say, I don't see it. I mean, come on. I just don't want to take the time right now. It's too much effort. It's too difficult. Keep in mind something else. Where God guides, He provides. And He does. Every time. And I can tell you example after example in my own life of where God has guided and provided in situations that I wasn't really sure He was even going to do anything. But He does. We find that both men were Jews in this situation. They both had opportunities to see the need. They looked on Him and they chose not to love. And you can say, well, I don't make that choice. Yeah, we do. We choose not to help when the Holy Spirit is telling us we need to help in this regard. And I'm not talking about just the church. I'm not talking about just giving your money. I'm talking about giving of yourself. There's folks in this church, as small as it is, honestly, that have needs. It'd be nice to have somebody just to say, hey, can I help you with something? How's it going? Simply because they care. Not because they want anything for it, but just to help. A friend of ours, we go to Lewis Avenue Baptist Church, and Lewis Avenue is a pretty good sized church. They've got a few hundred people going there. The fact of the matter is, another man, myself, and many others in our church, we try to help out our elderly. Why? Because sometimes the elderly can't do all the things they'd like to do. So what we do is we go and help do repairs and whatever's necessary to try to help them out. Not because we're good people, not because we're anybody else. We're just Christians. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm a beggar telling other beggars where I found the bread of life, and his name is Jesus. But by the way, words are cheap. Talk is really easy. What are you doing with it? I'm a Christian. Really? Prove it. If the Lord came down today, could he convict you by your deeds that you are what you claim to be? In this particular case, the lawyer couldn't. There's four things that we've listed. By the way, the love of the stranger is kind of interesting, sort of like the love of Christ. Samaritan, one who was hated by the one who was stripped and wounded and abandoned. And the Samaritan had compassion. He comforted. He made a conscious choice to love the man and to take care of him, despite the fact that even when he woke up, he might hate him. By the way, that is real love. So I've got down five things that are basically real love, or they demonstrate it. That are not love. First one is, love is not God. What do I mean by that? Well, God is love, but love is not God. Some people put a lot of emphasis, and they would almost say that God is love. No, it's not. God is love, but love is not God. And there is a difference. Keep it in mind. Just because somebody says they love you, does that mean they love you? No. I can say anything I want. By the way, do people tell you they're Christian and they're not? Hello? Sure. You can tell me anything you want to. I don't know. I don't know your heart. I'll tell you the one who does, though, the Lord. He sees it all. He even sees the things you don't say. He sees the things you don't want to say. He hears them. Secondly, love is not based upon getting to know a person. By the way, in order to foster loving somebody in the physical sense, yes, we need to get to know people. But do I have to know somebody to demonstrate God's love to them? This man didn't. The Samaritan came along. He didn't know who this man was, didn't know his name, didn't know anything about him. Just knew that he'd been stripped, and he'd been abandoned, and he'd been hurt, and he could help take care of it. So he did. He did what he could do. God gave him the opportunity to do this. And by the way, I believe, and you're going to think this is really wild, but I believe that the Samaritan was sent there by God so that Jesus would have this example to use. No, he couldn't do that. Oh, yeah. See, God can do anything. He can use you. And by the way, somebody else may use you as a great example. Or they may use you as a bad example. It's your choice. Love is not based upon enjoying talking to somebody. Let me ask you a question. This wounded and abandoned and stripped man, do you think he spoke a lot of words? No. Nope. He didn't speak any words. The man that was in need. He had been beaten. He was naked. Basically, he was not somebody that could talk to them and carry on a conversation. Number four, love is not based upon liking the way a person looks. We live in a day and time when, boy, I'll tell you what, looks is just about everything. They care about all these things. And the fact of the matter is, what happens when you get old?
Change.
Yeah. You develop furniture figure, your chest falls into your drawers. Sorry. But the truth is, honestly, you don't get more beautiful on the outside, but what should happen is you get a lot more beautiful on the inside. And by the way, what's on the inside does come. I hope all of you are growing that way. It's nice to be, if God's made you beautiful on the outside to start with. But I assure you, if the Lord allows you to live long enough, this flesh, it doesn't stay beautiful. It doesn't stay real strong. It doesn't, by the way, I can't do all the things that I used to do when I was 40, when I was 30, when I was 20. Truth of the matter is, I don't even want to do all those things anymore. Or at least some of those things. So it's not a matter of looks, and by the way, be glad of that. But I'll tell you the truth, and this really is the truth. My wife has gotten older. I didn't, but she did. From when we got married. And the fact of the matter is, she's so much more beautiful today than the day I married her, that the difference is astounding. It's true. But you know what? She's going to say, that's because I'm going blind. But that's okay. Anyway. Yeah. Love is not based on a person who makes you feel good, or it's not based on simply feelings. The man in need in his condition was probably sickening, yet it took the good Samaritan loved him anyway. Young people, don't get married just because of feelings. Get married for the right reasons. And then treat each other right. And by the way, that is love. All right, I've got 8 things which communicate real love. 8 things. Love causes a person to get involved in the life of the other person. So God wants us to get involved in other people's lives. Lots of men are married, but they don't get involved in their family very much. Do yourself a favor. Work is a wonderful thing. But work is not the singular most important thing in your life. Your family is way more important than that. Remember, God can supply your need. Do the right thing and the first things first. Number 2, love involves an effort. This man bound up the wounds of the one who needed help. Despite his own schedule, despite the change in his schedule, he bound him up, he took him to an inn, he helped him, he cared for him. And then when he absolutely had no choice, then he finally left. Love involves giving, expecting nothing in return. The Good Samaritan poured in oil and wine to help him to heal. And he gave money to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And if there's anything more when I come back, I'll pay for it. He didn't know this guy. And he was willing to do that. This is how Jesus describes it. Love involves personal sacrifice. The Samaritan set the man on his own beast. He didn't have 2 beasts, so he walked and let the man ride. Love is willing to be inconvenienced. Samaritan had been detained, and yet he continued to try to help the man. Many men don't love, many women don't love because it's inconvenient. And by the way, when you decide that it's too inconvenient to love your brethren, there's something wrong. Be willing to be inconvenienced for people. And by the way, people helping you is an inconvenience. So one of the things we're supposed to learn, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When others help you, learn to be thankful. Learn to be thankful, not just to God, but to the people that help you. What's wrong with that? I know it's unheard of anymore, but really. That word thank you, boy, it goes a long ways. And it's amazing what you can do. If somebody does for it something for you, and you just send them a little note and say, thank you. Wow! It'll change your life. By the way, this is something else too. Love allows other people to help you. Now, this man didn't have any choice. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of people have been raised today to think, no, I don't want anybody else helping me because I don't want to be responsible to have to help anybody else. Really? Is that what the Bible says? That isn't love. We've got this idea that we're little islands. We're not. We need each other way more than we think we do. And the truth of the matter is, when we come to the place where we're willing to let others get the blessing that God has for them by helping you, then you've grown. And I don't mean, yeah, all the time, oh, by the way, I need help with my groceries tomorrow. I'm not saying that's wrong if you really do need help, but the fact of the matter is, we have lots of sponges these days in the world. They'll take advantage of you. So when you go to help people, do yourself a favor, pray about it. And allow the Holy Spirit to tell you what it is He wants you to do. Can He do that? Only if the Holy Spirit's living here. And if He's not, get saved. And if you've lived a life that silenced Him, do yourself a favor and open your ears. And let Him speak. Love involves commitment. And by the way, last of all, love has a feeling or a sense of responsibility for others. The fact of the matter is, this man felt responsible for this wounded man, the Samaritan, and he did a good thing. Keep in mind something. Turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. And I'm just about done here. The wounded man didn't come to the Samaritan. The Samaritan came to him. The wounded man didn't have the strength to help himself. The Samaritan helped him. Our salvation, basically, is not a matter of dragging ourselves to God, but Him coming to us and meeting our need. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, the Bible says this: for when we were yet without strength. What does that mean, without strength? It means we didn't have the ability to save ourselves. We had nothing in us that could save ourselves. And by the way, that's true. And it's still true. How many in here know you cannot keep your own salvation? You will never live a perfect life this side of heaven. I wish we could, but we can't. Why? Because we battle a sinful flesh, we battle a world that hates us, and by the way, we have a devil that would love to trip you up. And you know how he's tripping up a lot of people? In this area. We really don't love one another as we should. Why? Because if we did, you know what? We, in our loving one another, we would not do anything, we would not say anything, we would not go places or do what ever we could to be a blessing to others. And they, in turn, would want to do the same thing for us to be a blessing to us. We don't live that way. Why? The answer's easy. We got flesh. By the way, can the Spirit overcome the flesh? Yes. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the... What has He died for? All of the good folks. Is that what your Bible says? No, He died for the ungodly. Sinners, us. So talk is cheap. The real Christian life can't be basically counterfeited day to day in its living. We don't have the ability to love day by day without the Holy Spirit. And if we're to yield to to God's Holy Spirit, there will be a consistency. And the problem for all of us today, including our children, is we're willing to take, but we're not very willing to give. Or what we do give is very little. Many know, basically, our spouse, our family, our church members, others who have needs, and a lot of times we turn a blind eye. And I'm going to take you back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, and the Bible says this: but whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother hath need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How's the love of God doing in you? not only for your neighbor. We're told today we ought to love ourselves. Let me tell you something. You really love yourself? Do what God says to do. That's love. If you love yourself, that's it. Yeah, but what's in it for me? That's pride. The fact of the matter is, you want to get something out of it? You'll find out the more you serve other people, the more you'll actually get out of it, but the less it'll mean to you as far as you being a good person. I don't matter. The middle letter in sin is what? I. When I gets out of the equation, God can do anything. There's no I in God. The gift of God is eternal life. And I hope you're here today, honestly, when you think about this. You have the ability to love others, as God says to love. But it's only in His power that you can do that. And if you continually turn a blind eye, and it is a growing thing, for the young people especially, you don't start out feeling like this. Don't turn a blind eye to others that have a need if you could meet the need. Please. That's what's happened to our churches. That's what's happened to our nation. That's what's happened to the world. It's basically they've said, I don't see anything wrong. Father, I do thank you for the patience that each one had. I do ask, Lord, that you will help us to remember. Love is not defined by words. Love is actually defined by what we do and what we say. And oftentimes, Lord, what we do and what we say is simply a matter of what we think. If we turn a blind eye to everybody that has a need, and only focus on our own need, we're focused in on a very small package. And we're not displaying the love that you want us to display. Thank you, Lord, for your word and what it teaches us. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our lives. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.